You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith.
And Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called, They Like Me.
But like, do they really like me?
They might.
Oh, I think they like me. Oh, I think they,
Hold on. You can't sing too much. We don't have that kind of license.
I think that was under 30 seconds. I think we're good.
Okay.
I think we're good to go.
Do you have to say who the artist is?
What artist? What are you talking about?
I see what you did there.
That's not a thing.
Yes.
All right. So welcome to our 21st episode.
Nice.
We've been doing this for 21 weeks.
Yeah, our episode is officially able to both vote and
buy alcohol, which
our
is
podcast.
It's probably good for the podcast to, I mean, if it can get legs and go to the store and express itself, hey, more power to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we are coming to you from the Pastor's Retreat, the Kansas District Pastor's Retreat.
Yes, at an undisclosed location.
We are in the lap of luxury.
Yes,
just so you need to know. And if you don't believe us, check our Instagram, Facebook, all that.
Yes.
We put some pictures up and you can see us lounging and styling and profiling.
Right.
Mostly profiling.
Yeah, mostly. Mostly. My profile is definitely shown on there.
So today's episode, we are talking about what?
Well, it's a couple different things, but basically we're talking about how we have shifted into this culture where social media drives so much of our personal and relational value.
Oh, that's good.
And so we're talking about how that is, why is that good? And even the title, like, they like me, but do they really like me? Like, I have a lot of likes, I have a lot of followers, I have a lot of reactions to my pictures or my posts, but do they really like me?
Does that actually translate into relational currency?
Yeah.
Or is that just imaginative at that point? What's crazy is I remember, like, I'm of a certain generation, and I remember when Facebook first became a thing.
Yeah.
And I was not on the train. I was not on the Facebook train. Those of you who don't know me. No, it's not that. I'm kind of skeptical of things.
Okay.
And so I'm like, first off, why do you need all my information? Second off, I thought it was weird that you couldn't change anything. Like, you couldn't. At that point, I was doing music a lot more.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't even put my music on here. I can't.
Yeah, it's not
change
MySpace.
The background. Yeah, MySpace was my jam. I used to be on MySpace all the time. And for the younger folks who are listening, I'm sorry, you missed out on the golden age.
We can't even really describe what MySpace is because it was just so cool.
Well, it still exists. Did you know
it does?
Yeah, no, it didn't close down. Tom is still rocking MySpace. I think so. I mean, you can go listen to music on MySpace. It's only for the hippest of the hipsters. But I remember Facebook, like when you first got it, you had to be either in college or an alumni. You had to have a college.edu. Email address.
Yep.
That was the only way to get on.
Yep.
And then they started doing it where if you're in college and you have an account already, you can invite somebody.
Yes.
That has like a regular Gmail or whatever.
Yeah, like high school students could get it. Yeah.
And then now I think they say the largest demographic of people on Facebook are women between the ages of like 39 and 60.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's like people that when Facebook came out, they were already grown.
Like moms and grandmas basically now.
Yeah. It's become not just a way for college kids to like tell each other about parties and events and hangouts. Now it's so that Nana can see pictures of her grandbaby.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really become, I mean, it has evolved, I guess we could say, into not just a way to connect with people, but I mean, there have even been companies that vet job candidates using social media. They will look at your profile. They'll go through your pictures. Colleges even can have access to this to look and see, like, okay, are you going to be someone that's in our program that's doing good, or are you going to be stirring up the mess?
What's crazy is I remember the first person I heard, I think I was working at Applebee's at the time, and I heard of someone getting fired because of a Facebook status. And I was so offended. And I was like, that's their personal stuff. If they want to say stuff off the clock, they should be able to say it.
But
these companies, even back then, were getting on, like they were getting hip to like the public defamation, like how you can defame people in this public forum.
Yeah.
And it really makes an impact.
Yeah.
And what has happened, what's crazy is like, Facebook has become a tool, or, and not even just Facebook, because we've got Instagram, we've got Twitter, we've got Snapchat, we've got, whatever, Wolf, probably. I think Wolf's out there now. Office reference. If you don't know that, check your heart. But we've got all these, these things that we use, and we create this false reality that we live in. And it's not only a way to just connect with people, but it's like how we share our personality. We share our sense of humor. We share our patriotic pride. We share our evangelical status. We share things about food we like and brands we support.
Yeah.
It's an extension of who we are as a person and the causes that we support on top of your own personal like stuff. Like, hey, I had cereal today. And things are really rough.
Here's a picture of it.
Here's some cereal.
Yeah. It's like, good. It's like you can catalog your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have children, your children's lives, even before they have their own Facebook.
They are cataloged.
They are being cataloged without their knowledge, even sometimes before they're born.
Yeah.
Their life has a digital imprint. And then, so you have like this catalog of your life, but you also have this soapbox.
Yeah.
Where you get to decide what is said. And if you don't like what someone else says, you can delete it because that can be the ultimate punishment for someone. If you say something on my page that I don't like.
Well, first I have to get on there and I have to say something mean back.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And I have to tag you in it.
Then I delete both posts.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's become a way, maybe even it's like become one of the biggest ways that we gauge our relational stock.
Yeah.
Or how close we really are to the people in our lives, how close they really are to us. And aside from all the other things, I mean, there's so many levels to social media that we could dive into, that you could do a case study on all of these. But
they actually teach social media, like marketing, media, anthropology.
Yeah.
They teach this stuff at the college level.
And because in, you know, 10, 20, 30 or more years, people are going to start looking back and saying, well, wait, how is this culture shaped?
Yeah.
And they're going to realize, well, it was because of what people were doing on the internet. So, but what we want to talk about today
specifically
the relational impact, the interpersonal relationship. Relationship.
What y'all know about them relationships?
How do you relate to the people
in your
life?
If you relate to them, then you gotta
relate. I don't
know
what accent that was that I came up with.
I think it's like a southern, like, you know, post-antebellum, little southern drawl.
That's what I was going for.
A little relationship.
So, and we all have like personal stories, I'm sure, if you're listening to this and you've been on social media at all. A story of, you know, someone taking something personally on Facebook or taking our district superintendent references the bait of Satan, which
the bait
is
of offense.
The bait of offense.
Yeah, being offended is out there, and it's easy to do.
Yeah.
The thing that's crazy, you're talking about the relational aspect of Facebook. Facebook has become one of the major factors in a lot of divorces.
Because, really?
Yeah, people, they get on Facebook and they're unhappy in their marriage and they see this false image of someone else that maybe they used to know or someone that they'd like to get to know. And they see, man, things look way better over there. So I'm going to, you know, without my spouse knowing, I'm going to go ahead and send a couple DMs. I'm going to go ahead and jump in their inbox.
Mm.
And then people find out. And one of the major issues in today's dating world is Facebook history.
Yeah.
And seeing like, oh, man, this person, you know, they posted this on their page, but we were dating at that time and that's inappropriate.
Yep.
And on top of that, it's a major factor in teenage depression.
Yes.
They've done a lot of studies about social media and its effects on just people, but especially on teenagers, especially on our youth. And what's crazy is the more media involvement that teenagers and preteens have in their life, the more likely they are to be depressed.
Yeah.
Because they see all of this hatred, they see all of this comparison, this judgment, and they, not only are they like, oh man, I want to be like them, but they start to internalize and take everything personally.
Yeah.
Because Facebook has become an extension of self.
Yeah.
And it causes so much stress yeah. in our lives.
Well, and it's because at one point, okay, so going back in the day.
Back it on
the
up
OG
now.
Facebook.
What's happening? OG Facebook.
I think there was the ability to like... Was there?
I don't even remember, to tell you the truth.
I remember at a certain point, all you could do was write on people's walls.
Yeah, because you could
everybody
comment.
Had a wall. It wasn't a timeline. It wasn't a feed. It was a wall. And you could post what were the, like, I guess you would say the precursor to memes. They were called bumper stickers.
I was the bumper sticker king.
Yes. And you could post those to people's walls. You could post your own message to them. There wasn't Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, it was just all out there in the public.
So at a certain point, we only had the ability to communicate, like, personally, but it was like everyone could see it.
Yeah.
Well, now you have liking. Then at first it was like or dislike, right?
No,
or
they just, never just had dislike.
Like. Now we have like, love. I'm sad about it. I'm mad about it. I'm wowed by it.
It's the wow amazed. Face. It's the whoa.
And so we have all of these things. And
by the way, that was a terrible Joey Lawrence I was trying to do.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
It was pretty bad.
I was
hold on. Let me try again.
Okay.
Whoa, that one's better.
Okay.
That one was better than the first one.
What we do then is we take the likes. And the reactions. And those things then dictate our level of happiness.
Yeah.
Or the worth that we attach to ourselves. So like if I post a picture of me.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling good about that picture. Like, oh man, I look good. My makeup looks good. The lighting is good. I took it on portrait mode. So, you know, I got everything just.
Got them soft edges.
Yes. The angle.
Little fuzzy in the background.
I post a picture of me. If I'm doing that because I want a boost of self-esteem, if I'm feeling low, I need, and it, let's say one day I post it and I get like, you know, 50 reactions and all these comments, you're beautiful and blah, blah, blah. That's great. Oh, okay, good. Let's say I post another day, similar picture, I'm looking good and nobody reacts to it.
Oh, that's now, crushing.
Now, I mean, what happened? What did I do? So then that desire in me starts to go, okay, well, what do I need to do? I need to post more pictures. I saw this girl posted pictures and she got all these, and she posted pictures in a garden. So maybe I need to, and it just starts this, I would say, avalanche that leads to a train wreck of emotional insecurity. And it's all because, well, there's a lot of things in it. And so we're like, Lord, I need affection. I need this, but we're going after it for the wrong reasons. And
yeah, in the wrong way. In the wrong way. As the old SNL sketch, Eddie Murphy used to sing as Buckwheat. He used to sing, looking punub in all the wrong places.
Yes.
Looking punub.
For real.
But that's what we're doing. We're looking for love in these social media reactions, whether it's on the gram or it's on Facebook or Twitter, whatever it is. And it causes us personal anxiety. But it also affects interpersonal relationships because you start getting mad at friends that don't like your posts. You start getting upset because you invited people to this event and they clicked maybe.
Like interested.
I'm interested. You know what I mean? You ask people to share a post and they don't share it. So now all of a sudden you got a stank attitude with everybody.
Yeah.
Because, oh, I saw you sharing somebody else's stuff, but you're too busy to share my stuff.
Yeah.
And so we start getting hypersensitive. We start taking on this digital persona and then living it out in reality where there's actual consequences.
Yeah.
And it changes relationships. It changes personal values. It changes emotional status in your life.
Well, and a flip side of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have experience with this personally. There, because we take this so seriously, because at times we take it so sensitively.
Yeah.
And in a negative way. We then also think that other people will take it as seriously. Here's an example.
Listening.
I get mad at you, not you personally.
That's messed up.
I'm talking to you listening.
Okay.
Let's say we're friends on Facebook. I get mad at you. You and I disagree about something in real life. We have a disagreement. You know, we're frustrated at each other. We agree to disagree for the time being, and we'll come back and talk about it later. But what happens in between that? We go home and get on Facebook.
Mm.
Because I take Facebook interactions so seriously, and even describing this sounds absurd.
It really
does. Because I take it so seriously, I am going to go on Facebook and I'm going to make sure anything you post, not only will I not like it, I may even make an angry face at it.
You know what's even worse is you get on there and you start making indirect passive aggressive posts Instagram and
some
Twitter.
Some people.
It's just a shame when some people you think are really your friends aren't.
Yes. And
what?
And Facebook has and some people are even more bold than that. And I've experienced this where you'll get tagged in something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I got tagged in something. And you go and you're like, what in the world? This person's ranting and raving to their audience, because that's what it's become.
On their little
soapbox about me personally, because now it's a personal attack. Or you get people that, and I've been through this in my life. There was a season in my life I could easily cut people off.
Yeah.
And that's something I struggle with. I'm like, okay, cool. Keep it moving. Step to the side. But how that manifests in my immaturity was, well, fine. I don't need to be friends with you on Facebook.
Facebook purge. You know what cracks me up on Facebook?
What?
Is when you get those friend ads from people.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're
I thought we were friends.
I didn't realize you deleted me.
I just had one of those last week.
I thought we were cool.
I guess you deleted me at some point.
You were mad about something, I guess.
Right.
But I see you got over it.
And sometimes we go through that. And like I said, that was a season of my life where, okay, this is really immature. I can say that now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have experienced that. Maybe you are still going through that where you can't disassociate. You really do think that how you treat people in the social media realm is going to change their behavior.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't like this, maybe that will alter your behavior when we're dealing with each other in person. And it just complicates things. It doesn't actually fix anything or
it
help
really
anyone.
Well, and I think that some of that comes from a society that has developed on Facebook, a society of people like under our age, like the younger millennials and that Generation Z, where your avatar, your personal persona online.
Uh-huh.
First, you can make it whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
And there's been some crazy stuff. You ever watch the TV show Catfish, where you see somebody who pretends to be somebody to date someone, and then when they meet face to face, it's a whole different person.
Yeah.
But not only can you do that, but you get so wrapped up in this avatar, in this reality that you've crafted, that you start living your life by virtual rules, which means I can say whatever I want, and the only response is you're gonna dislike it. You're gonna whatever digitally you can do, you're going to unlike my page, whatever. But they forget that your words, whether they're typed or said, have power.
Yeah.
And so when you say things, it's not just a digital reaction, but you're actually dealing with a person, and there's a physical and a real consequence in that person's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think part of it is because people stop meeting behind the schoolyard to fight.
Come on.
And I'm not advocating violence. Please hear me. I'm a peaceful man. I don't advocate violence. But what I'm saying is, when you say something to someone and you know that a possible consequence is that you're going to get punched in the mouth, it tempers what you say, because you realize, not like you have to live in fear. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But you should understand that your words have consequences.
Yeah.
Both positive and negative. When you say something nice, it can uplift somebody. If you say something bad, it tears somebody down. And when we stopped having actual physical consequences for people's attitudes, for people's malicious words, for you talking about my mom, so now we got to fight.
Right.
Online, it's like, you live in Germany. I can talk about you however I want. You ain't nothing you can do. You know, it's that internet tough guy syndrome.
Exactly.
But we forget that our words really do have power, and we really are affecting people. If we had, I can't remember what culture it is, but there's a culture in, I believe, South America, where once a year, everyone meets in the town square. And anybody that's got issues with anybody, they just tee off on each other. They just square up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like one-on-one fight. And then after the fight, everybody's cool. Move on for the next year.
Yeah.
If we did that on the internet, if we were just like, all right,
goodness.
Anybody that's got internet beef, meet at the flagpole.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. And we're just going to settle it.
Yeah.
And then after that, no more mean stuff on the internet. I think it would change how people dealt with each other.
Yeah. Well, and as far as the consequences thing that you mentioned, I think, aside from personal and relational, we also have to remember, for believers, talking to the church here, we not only have these consequences we deal with in the natural, there is eternal ramifications.
Come on now.
The word says that every word uttered. Now, we may think that only means it's limited to what comes out of your lips.
Yeah, that's not what it's talking about.
But
every word. Every idle word.
So when you flippantly, and I say you, when a person flippantly posts something and put, I mean, yeah, now there's an algorithm. Now there's a timestamp out there that human beings can see, but our Heavenly Father also sees. And he he saw it in your heart
before you hit share.
But the thing is, it didn't stop there. And now there will be, you will answer for that.
Yeah. And we're not talking about condemnation.
Absolutely not.
There's definitely got to be some sort of, because scripture says you have to answer for every idle word. And so, yeah.
Honestly, you mentioned the thing about teenagers. Mm-hmm. And depression.
Yeah.
And we have seen, there was a simulcast that I watched recently where the speaker talked about teenage girls.
Yeah.
And the rate of depression. And I think she mentioned suicidal thoughts, but specifically depression in teenage girls is 3 times higher than it is for teenage boys. Now, it shouldn't be that high
in general
for either of them.
Yeah.
But for girls, it's higher. Now, girls are also the ones that we see. There have been cases in the news of girls who have taken their own lives.
Yeah.
And what do? They investigate their social media because they want to know, how did this happen? What led to this? And most of those cases, you find a thread somewhere initiated by a group of other girls who were shaming her or bullying her or saying things to her in the virtual that she then took into her spirit, into her heart.
That's right.
And use that as a way to evaluate her self-worth.
Mm.
That's tragedy.
Yeah.
There is something wrong when we allow it to have that much power. And I say all this, we're not saying like, don't get off Facebook. It's
because
evil.
Obviously we share stuff on Facebook.
No, Facebook is good.
It's a tool.
It is a good thing.
It can be as good or as evil as you use it.
Yes, but it's the heart. We've got to shift away from using it as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the church.
Please.
We cannot
use
this as a weapon against our brothers and sisters. When somebody in the church disagrees with you, when a pastor preaches something, if you have an issue with the preaching of the sermon, you need to go to the preacher of the sermon.
Let's even take it lower than that. If you have an issue with another believer, the first step is to go to that person.
Because I think it says it in the Bible somewhere.
It's somewhere in there. I mean, I've read it a couple times.
If your brother,
meaning another believer,
has offended you.
Come on now. What does it say?
It doesn't say if they offended you in person, if they offended. It is just offended. If it was on Facebook, if it was in the look they gave you in the lobby,
mm-hmm.
if it was at the grocery store and they didn't say hi, it offended you. Own that.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? I'm offended. Can you explain this to me? I don't know why I was offended, but I felt offended by what you did, what you said, what you typed.
Go to your person, go to whoever it was, get clarity, have that conversation.
Yes. As soon as possible.
As soon as possible. As soon as, it's safe. I should say, you don't want to run up on somebody when you're angry. Like, I heard what you said.
Hey, I saw what you put on Facebook. It ain't cool.
But
right.
When you get to a point where you can have that conversation, instead of going and Facebooking or Twittering or, is it Twittering? It's tweeting.
It's tweeting. You're old.
Anyway, practical application.
Yes. So the first thing that you can do to...
Primero. Sorry, I wanted to jump in there with a little Spanish.
And it's real. It's gonna blow your mind. Be a real friend.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm going to say that again for the ones in the back.
Yeah, because they might need to write that down.
Be a real friend. It is so amazing that we can connect with people. I have friends all around the world that I can connect with in a way that I wouldn't have been able to in ages past.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So that's great to share things with friends. But I'm going to tell you the old-fashioned way, the vintage way,
that's right,
of making friends and sustaining friendships is so much more meaningful.
And what that is, for those of you who don't understand, spending time with someone
face to face
or even a telephone call today, like nowadays, a telephone call is so personal, because we do everything in text, but
shoulder to shoulder, face to face,
that's the way
ear
you build
ear.
Friendships.
I don't know how you would say a phone call like that.
Mouth to ear.
No, that
work.
Doesn't sound right.
Sometimes I just say stuff. But yeah, you're right. Old fashioned, real. And I think what we're saying is physical friendships. There are people in your life that God has placed around you because he wants you to influence or he wants you to be influenced by.
Yeah.
There are people in your sphere of influence that God has placed right where you're planted.
Yeah.
That he wants you to develop real life relationships with.
Yeah.
And so that can be such a meaningful thing in today's age, because here's another point. Don't allow your membership into this virtual community, whatever it is, Don't allow your membership in that to replace real life community.
Yeah. And don't buy into the lie. Cause I know, and I actually, this one, someone had just said on Facebook, on my Facebook, that, you know, sometimes people don't have anyone to connect with in real life. So this is all they have. I'm gonna say that's a lie of the enemy that is pumped into us that this is all you have. This is all you have. All you have is these. No, there are if you live in a community with other people around, you have people that can be your friend. Now, friendship doesn't mean everything's always puppies and rainbows.
It should be, but it's not.
It should be, but friendship is, and it's work.
Yes.
We have to try to be friends. Most of the time, friendships don't happen the way that they happen in movies, where it's like, you like that? I like that too. Let's be friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Like, it doesn't always happen that way. There are people that we have to want to get to know that are different than us, that may challenge us, but in the end will probably be the most loyal and life-giving friends that we have.
And it's always those friends that we go through things with that we grow closer to.
Yeah.
Friends that you're able to overcome obstacles and overcome things.
Exactly.
Don't allow your virtual life to replace real life community. And so what that means is, look for community, especially if you're a believer, plug into a church.
Yes.
Say it again, plug into a church. The church is God's answer to loneliness.
Yes.
The church is God's answer to community. The church is God's answer to purpose for your life. It's plugging into the body and working in something that's greater than you.
Yeah.
And there's just so many opportunities if you look for them.
Yeah. I will say plug into a Bible preaching.
Yeah. Bible believing church.
Church. Yes. Please.
Yes, do that.
Another thing you need to do, and you probably heard this and seen campaigns for it or whatever.
We actually said it in one of our previous episodes.
Unplug. You are not a slave to your notification feed.
Mm.
I don't know who needs to hear that.
Somebody got to hear that today.
When that bell goes off, when that like, ding, you know, you probably just heard it. It was in the background.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Been practicing.
It's okay.
That's like muscle brain connection. Like, oh, I got to check it.
Pavlov's response.
It's okay to not. You are free to respond later.
Yes.
And I'll say, moms, we are the worst at this. And you know, I'm just going to get on a soapbox for a hot second.
All right. Soapbox.
We have a generation of children who are going to grow up, who are growing up invisible to their parents.
It's heartbreaking.
That really is something we have to be intentional about in the church. We are so quick moms. We sit down. We get a few minutes to sit down. It's lunchtime. We're feeding the kids. They're eating a snack. What do? Grab my phone, check my notification. My child, in the meantime, sees my face glued to a screen while their life is passing.
Yeah.
They are growing up.
Yeah.
And so many parents, oh man, I just wish they were little again. Well, we have that even more. Every parent says that.
That's true.
In generations past. But we have that longing even more because we're missing out on it. Because we're glued to what other people have to say about our lives.
When our children
are our biggest fans. They desire our attention more than anything else in this world. They deserve our attention. So I just want to say, all you mamas, especially dads too, but
yeah,
all
dads
you mamas,
do too.
Please let your children be more important than your notification feed. Let your children be so much more. Our children are worth ignoring the notifications.
I'm going to take that a step, continue that thought.
Okay.
And if you're married, your spouse is worth more than your face glued to a screen.
Yeah, yeah.
They need face-to-face time. They need interactions. They need community.
Yeah.
You didn't say I do over Skype. Well, maybe somebody did. I'm sure that's happened.
That's probably a thing.
But in general, we say I do because we want to do life with the person that we're saying I do to. But what ends up happening is, just like with parenting, I get a free moment and I got to check the score of the game.
Yeah.
I got to see, you know, what this notification is. I'm checking my email.
Yeah.
I'm doing all this stuff. And the family that really matters to me is passing by.
Yeah. And then we wonder why our generation, like our older kids, are so fixed on that.
Yeah.
And they don't want to spend time with their parents. They don't want to go out with their friends. Well, we have literally trained them to rely on this thing in front of you. Rely on this.
I'm glad you said that because nobody could see your hand.
Oh, yeah, I can't see my hand. When we start doing live video episodes, you can. But
at that point, you'll know.
Yeah, we've trained them. We have brought them. We've discipled them in this way of the world.
That's right.
And we are not called to be like that, church. We are called to be different from Babylon.
Amen.
And so that's just, and the way you unplug, if you need to set a timer. Yeah. That every night at this time,
like,
and I'm preaching to myself, every night at this time, I need to put my phone away. I'm not going to check anything till, you know, noon tomorrow.
Or if you need to wait till your children go to bed to jump on your Facebook.
Because that's
really
a good time to do it.
Yeah. Or if you, like, whatever. There are moments in your life, you just schedule them. Otherwise, yeah. It's going to consume you.
Yeah.
Here's another practical application. And this one is a personal choice. You have to realize that you have the power in your own mind and life. You have the power to decide how much control someone else has over you.
Amen.
And this is what I mean. People only have as much control over your feelings and your emotions as you allow them to. So what you have to do is when you hear or read or see something that offends you, you have to make a choice at that moment to say, okay, that does not define me. That is not going to control my mood. That's not going to define how the rest of my day goes. And I'm going to find solace and control or solace and peace in not giving them control and relinquishing control ultimately to Christ.
Yeah.
Because you have to pray. And I'm taking this from PC, old Pastor Kurt from Victory Church in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We used to go to church there. But I remember a service, he said, pray for the skin of a rhino in the heart of a dove.
Yes.
Jesus says, be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves.
Yeah.
So what all of that means is the stuff of this world, don't let it get any closer to you than skin deep.
Yeah.
Don't let it penetrate. Don't let it get into your heart. Fill your heart with so much goodness that none of that negativity can penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do that. You have the power to choose who gets to upset you and who doesn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that.
And another thing, we were just talking about this today with some friends. So y'all know we make jokes about like Siri's listening and Alexa's always listening and all that stuff. But here's the crazy thing.
Oh, it's real though. This is real.
I mean, it's real. But you have the power to alter the almighty algorithm. Almighty in lowercase.
Yeah, we don't really mean
that. You have the power to alter that. Here's how. You need to engage with people in positive ways on your timeline. You know, you can like other people's stuff. You can comment on somebody's stuff. You can share positive things, encouraging things.
Yeah.
You also, in your life, in your real life relationships, when you have your phone nearby especially, start talking about positive things.
Yeah.
Start sharing things with people. Start talking about what God's doing in your life. I guarantee you, okay, the device is always aware. The microphone is on, right? Watch your news feed change when you start changing what comes out of your mouth.
That's right.
And then that stuff, those images are going into your mind and then stuff's coming back out of your mouth. It will change. I've seen it change.
Yeah.
And if you need to unfollow something.
Do it.
Or someone just for a time.
Or forever.
It's okay. But don't let that affect you relationally. Just let that be a boundary. Things in boundary terms. So I would say, change the almighty algorithm in your life by changing what comes out of your mouth and what goes in to the window of your soul.
Yes. Start liking pictures of puppies and positive
and
scriptures.
And babies.
And then all you're going to see is puppies, babies, and positive scriptures. And you're like, man,
my life
is
awesome.
you know, there's a whole sermon in that, the almighty algorithm.
Yes.
We could preach on that. That's so good.
You should. Go for it.
But anyway, we hope that this has been an awesome conversation for you. We hope that you've heard something, that you've been engaged, that you've been empowered, entertained. But we also hope that you come back next week.
Yes, we are going to be talking about forgiveness and justice.
Yeah.
How do those go together?
This is a hot button issue.
Yeah. And if you've watched the video recently of
the one that we put on Facebook.
Yes, we talked about Amber Geiger. She got sentenced to 10 years. She murdered Botham.
Yeah, Botham Jean.
Botham Jean in his apartment. If you don't know about this, look it up, please. Just look it up. But we're going to talk about this, not really specifically with that case alone. We want to talk about, just for believers, how do we walk in forgiveness while understanding the concept of justice?
Yeah.
It's really, really something that I think our church needs to hear.
Yes.
The church needs to hear, I should say.
Yes, so please share this so that other people can see it. Please go, whatever streaming service you use to listen to us, go on and rate us. Because what that does is it allows it to show up more often in other people's suggestions.
Yes.
And so rate it. Well, here's the thing. Rate it a 5. Like, give it the top
give it
notch.
A good rating.
Yeah, because if you give it a low rating, they're going to be like, yeah, nobody really cares. But no, give it a good rating so that other people can see. Share on social media, because this conversation that we're having is important. We need to continue it.
Yeah.
And so we want you to join us next week. And we hope that this conversation has helped to educate and empower you.
Yes. This has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.